Well, hi there, neighbor. You are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us today. This week, we're excited to talk about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Screenfishers Julie Levac and Jolie Featherstone from T.O. Film Files. Focusing on the life of television legend Mr. Rogers, Neighborhood is a different type of biographical picture, and we have a special episode ahead for you. From the nature of forgiveness to living an authentic life, there's lots to talk about, and we could not be happier that you've decided to give us your time. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Welcome to Screenfish Radio. We are so glad you could join us here this week as we talk about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the quote biopic on Fred Rogers as he interacts with Lloyd Vogel, a distempered journalist, and their interactions. And for this week, we have a couple of beautiful ladies in the podcast world. Can I say that? Julie Levac and Jolie Featherstone. Welcome back, ladies.
Hi, neighbors.
Hey, are you going to sing the intro to the song? I think we need to have another sing-along.
Oh, my goodness. It'll probably come up at some point. I'm glad you could both join us. I think we've got a lot to talk about with this film. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood stars Tom Hanks as the iconic Mr. Rogers himself and tells the story of a cynical award-winning journalist, Lloyd Vogel, who begrudgingly accepts an assignment to write an Esquire profile on the beloved television icon Fred Rogers. Vogel's perspective on life is transformed after his encounter with Rogers as he begins to see the world through an entirely different way. As always, this podcast is rated S for spoilers, just so you're aware. But ladies, I have to know what you thought of A Beautiful Day.
I personally enjoyed it. I thought it was beautifully done. I think right off the bat, one thing I would say to anyone watching it, I'd recommend watching the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, before going into this one, just because I think it adds a lot more context and color to who Fred Rogers was. But just a beautiful, beautiful film.
To my shame, I have not seen the documentary.
That is okay. You have something to look forward to now.
Well, I've heard it's different enough from the film that it's, I mean, I heard it's a beautiful thing, no pun intended, a beautiful film anyway. But one of the things I thought of is, should I see it? And then I realized, oh, it's probably too similar. But now, I mean, it sounds like, based on what the film is and based on what we saw, it would be a very different type of film, even though it's focused on the same person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's actually a great companion piece. I mean, I loved Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but I think I really went into it with the ability to appreciate it more because I saw that documentary previously and had a bit more insight than I had before seeing the documentary on Mr. Rogers himself and, you know, his contribution outside of TV as well. So just knowing, I guess, a bit more of a holistic picture of him and then watching Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood really made me appreciate that film.
Mm.
I liked the movie. I think cinematically it was really special. The miniature village, and I mean immediate chills the second you start hearing the music at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I almost cried because it just gives you this, the inner child inside of me was just so excited, you know what I mean? The miniature village, and oh my gosh. I it sort of pains me to say that I didn't like the film quite as much as I wanted to. I think my expectations were high. This was sort of at the top of my list for TIFF this year. I thought it was good, but it's definitely different than what I expected. You know, it sort of takes a bit of a different turn when you see the board with the doors and then the beat up face of Lloyd Vogel and that sort of thing. So you're just sort of like, wait a second, where's this going? Do you know what I mean? So I did like the film. I didn't actually see the documentary, but doing a bit of research, preparing myself for this podcast, I watched a little bit. And the film, I think, was contributed to by, I can't remember his first name, but it's Yo-Yo Ma's son. And apparently Yo-Yo Ma and Fred Rogers were really close. Mm-hmm. And so I watched a little bit of that about the documentary. And it just... it is unbelievable how incredible of a person Fred Rogers was, mm-hmm. and the impact that he continues to have on people. So I think that with seeing that, I would really like to see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood again and see if I can just have a little bit more of an appreciation for it. Not that I didn't, but I just wanted to like it a lot.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It was very different than I expected as well. I fell in love with it. I want to say quickly, you're right, when you hear the music, I don't know if it gave me chills, but it was kind of like sitting back with a cup of warm cocoa, you know, and it was just comforting, which is interesting because, you know, like when I hear the Sesame Street theme song, I don't have the same reaction. Hmm. There's something about that song which is such a peaceful song in so many ways, the way it's so simple. I got so freaked out when he opens the thing and there's this bloody face of a man on the picture board. I thought that, like, looking back, I think it's hilarious because I was like, oh my gosh, this is taking a dark turn fast.
Yes.
But it was very different than I expected, and to me that was what worked. I knew I was going to come out of it feeling good about life. Like, I didn't feel like it, I knew this type of film wasn't going to be a hack job. And it's interesting. One of the key lines in the film is, "Don't ruin my childhood." You know, this is a very, a very gentle look at Fred Rogers in a lot of ways. But, you know, I love the little houses, the sets and all that. But that caught me off guard, too. It kept bringing me in and out of the moment. But I was still, like, by the end of it, I was into it. But that caught me off guard because, you know, once they're done the initial scene, then they cut to, I think it's New York or wherever it is, and it's the same sort of thing. And I'm like, what's happening here? Is this a fantasy world? Is it reality? But, you know, the way that they sort of build it, it was really interesting to me. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful piece. But
I don't even need to say this, but Tom Hanks was fantastic in this film. His portrayal of Fred Rogers, when I first heard it was going to be Tom Hanks, I was a little, you know, hesitant about it. But the second you see him, or the second that I personally saw him, however many months or years ago, in the outfit with the silver hair, you know, the cardigan, you're like, yeah, he's pulling it off really well. And the voice that he puts on is incredible. In terms of the other characters, though, you know, Lloyd and Andrea, I don't know why, but I just didn't really have a connection with them. You have I had a connection with Fred Rogers, but not so much the rest of the cast. And so I found that kind of an interesting way that I had to navigate the film, where I liked it, but I just didn't feel that connection.
I'm curious, Jules, why were you hesitant when you heard that Tom Hanks was going to play Mr. Rogers? Did you just feel like there was a bit of a disconnect between his, like, history of characters and then playing Fred Rogers, or was there something else that made you kind of pause?
I'm not sure what it was. I think maybe I might have had that hesitation with anybody because Fred mm-hmm. Rogers is such a beloved character.
Yeah.
Or not character, but being.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Hanks is more than capable of portraying such an icon, but maybe it was just like from a physical perspective, I just didn't see the connection there. And so when I did see him with the silver hair and the cardigan, it clicked for me.
Yeah, I actually had almost the opposite reaction when I found out that he was cast in the role of Mr. Rogers. I was super excited because I don't know, I just had a really good feeling about it. I thought that he would do a great job with it. I think, not that they're similar individuals by any means, but I think that they both kind of hold a place of just sort of a place within in America's heart, you know, or in the world's heart, really, because their reach has been so global. But, you know, when I think of Mr. Rogers and I think of Tom Hanks, I see them both as sort of positive role models, I guess, with in terms of American figures, especially like figures on the screen. So I was really excited when I found out he was playing Mr. Rogers. But you're right. Any time that you have someone who is so beloved and someone who really did impact the world in such a positive way, like that totally makes sense that you would feel kind of a bit of a wariness of like, oh gosh, how are they going to portray him? But I felt like Tom Hanks did a great job in this film. He really impressed me.
Yeah, my concern, or I was thrilled when they picked him, because Tom Hanks is, his nickname is the nicest guy in Hollywood. But the interesting thing about that to me is that after the fact, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, he's still got to earn it. You know, I don't want them to have cast him just because he's a nice guy. Yeah. And you know, everybody that I spoke to was like, oh, well, that just makes sense. But the thing that really impressed me about the film is his performance. Like, if you go back and watch Fred Rogers do anything, he has some very specific mannerisms and a very specific voice. And, I, you know, we went to the premiere at the film festival, and he was there. And that was one of the things they talked about, is how this was not just a case of him putting on a sweater and trying to be nice. They try. He really nails the voice, the movements, the tossing of the shoe. You know, when he puts on his sweater, these mannerisms are very, very specific. And because he's a TV personality, everybody knows them a certain way.
Yeah,
and when I saw the trailer for it initially, the second he says "Hi, neighbor," it's all in the cadence, and he nailed it absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right, with especially just his voice, and as you mentioned, Steve, like his mannerisms, I felt they were really well done. It didn't seem like he was trying to do some sort of impersonation. Yeah. He really did seem to be handling this individual with a lot of care. And I felt that he really was trying to kind of embody him, and not just, again, like who America sees him as or how we think of Mr. Rogers, but also from a very intimate and vulnerable perspective. The one scene that really sticks out to me is when him and Lloyd are speaking and the topic of Mr. Rogers' relationship with his sons comes up. Oh my gosh, what a scene. I thought, you know, I just thought Tom Hanks nailed that. You know, there was such a sense of vulnerability there and so much unsaid. And yet you felt the weight of that moment.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There were moments. See, that was the beauty of the film to me. Julie, I actually hear what you're saying about the other characters, because I didn't really feel all that connected necessarily to Chris Cooper or Vogel's wife, who is Susan Kalecki Watson, Andrea.
And Chris Cooper was the dad, right?
He's the dad, yeah.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah,
he was a very good actor, though.
Oh, no, they were fine. Well. They were very good. I'm not saying that they didn't, but I'm saying I didn't connect with them. But I thought Matthew Reeves did very, very well. And I think what makes the film for me are those little moments like that, you know, where they're, or, and I want to talk about this a little bit later too, but where they're sitting in the restaurant and Vogel's talking about being, I think he's talking about being broken, and Fred Rogers just says something to the effect of, "Can we just pause for a minute and reflect on all the people who loved us along the way?" And there's this, and the film just goes silent, and then the restaurant goes silent, and you're like, I'm watching the film, and I did the same. Like, it was kind of funny. You get drawn in. Those intimate moments, to me, are the payoff of the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you think about in that specific scene? Lloyd says, "You love broken people like me," and I kind of feel like it came off like an accusation. But I think in reality, Fred Rogers just was such a compassionate person. I'm just wondering how you guys took that line.
Do you remember what Fred Rogers' follow-up line is? I was struggling with this as I was, because I was thinking of that moment. Do you remember what Fred Rogers actually says?
I don't recall, so that's probably why I'm kind of questioning it.
Yeah, it's my bad as well. I can't remember how he follows it up, but I definitely felt kind of similar to you, Jules. It was almost like it was almost an accusation, but I felt that it was it wasn't necessarily like a hard finger pointing kind of accusation. I think it was, for me, I read it as sort of Lloyd kind of playfully almost accusing him, but also kind of, you know, definitely he made that comment, I think, from a place of a lot of pain and hurt. But I do believe that Fred Rogers truly was such a compassionate person that he extended that, you know, that open heart and that open ear and open hand to everyone he came across, not simply, you know, people who were, you know, struggling with difficult times.
See, it's interesting you guys say accusation. I felt it was more of an admission, mm-hmm. you know, because he's speaking about himself. If Fred Rogers made the comment, you know, I like being with broken people like you, that's more finger pointing. But it's Vogel saying it to himself. Mm-hmm. Lloyd is speaking to himself. And I feel like at that point of the film, Lloyd is starting to recognize and admit his own drama, his own issues, in a way that he doesn't really understand why Fred Rogers is spending so much time with him. Mm-hmm. So to me, when I heard that moment, it's interesting. When I heard that moment, I felt like he's saying, why me?
Yeah, I think it's, to me, I feel like it's almost kind of one and the same. Like, I felt that Lloyd at that moment was, you know, kind of on the brink of reaching a new level of being, you know, self-reflective and self-aware, and kind of saying, oh, you love broken people like me. Almost, again, maybe accusing isn't the way that I would put it, because there's sort of like a harsh connotation to it, but just sort of playfully almost, and sort of self-deprecating way, right. Saying like, oh, are you only spending this time with me because I am, you know, going through this difficult time, or, you know, you see that I'm in need of assistance right now. And I think that Lloyd ultimately along his journey realizes that Fred Rogers truly is just a deeply compassionate person. He's not almost singling Lloyd out specifically because of what he's going through.
See, therein lies the question. And this is something that I've heard Hank say. I don't want to misquote him, but it was something to the effect of that Fred Rogers is either a fraud or he's genuine. And my question is, do you believe that he was? There's a line where Lloyd says to him, so when you're in character, and he gets very confused. He says, well, you know, who is Mr. Rogers, the person versus the character? So, like, do you believe he was that genuine, or was he really great at faking it?
I think that he was actually that genuine. I mean, he never claimed to be this sort of perfectly happy person. I think that in the show, he dealt with some really heavy topics. You know, there was racism and death and divorce and all of these really heavy topics for a kid's show. And he never claimed that things weren't hard and that people get upset and that these bad things happen. But he wanted to, I think this is actually a quote, something along the lines of, we're trying to give the world positive ways of dealing with their feelings. Mm-hmm. I think that's just sort of what he's been able to develop in his own life. So yeah, he certainly does go through all of this stuff, but he's just, he has a more positive outlook and he knows how to deal with his feelings. I mean, I think that he was sort of humanized in this video, or sorry, this movie, not this video, especially at the end when he hits the low notes on the piano at the end. And it was a kind of a very interesting scene where there was half of the screen that was lit in red and the left side sort of goes dark. And then half of it was in blue light. Hmm. And it was sort of releasing his anger through the piano almost at the end. And, you know, the redness goes dark and then it's just left with the cool side, the calming sort of side. I don't know. It's hard to sort of put into words, but I just found that last scene humanizing and kind of real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved, like you, Jules, I loved that final scene because, you know, at the end of the day, he's a human, you know, he's a human like anyone else. As to the original question, I believe he was genuine. I think that he was, you know, regular human, just like any of us, but who, you know, throughout his life, and in his case, particularly early on in his life, sort of decided he wanted to live a life in service to people, and that was his way of doing it. I think that he himself, like anyone, struggled with his own things in his personal life, and I think a lot of what he was trying to do through his television show, through his education, through his advocacy work was, you know, just kind of extend more compassion, help people cope with and navigate things that they were dealing with in real life. As Jules mentioned, you know, he did cover some really hard-hitting topics on a children's TV program, which, I mean, to my knowledge, I think would have been groundbreaking at the time. And I think that he was so dedicated to that because he perhaps struggled in his own life with his own things. Again, with the documentary, they talked about, not a lot, but they talked a bit about his childhood, you know, experiencing a bit of bullying, a bit of, you know, self-esteem issues when he was a kid. They do kind of touch upon his adult life and how he dedicated himself through his faith, also through his, you know, his meditation, through daily activities that he would do to kind of just always grow and heal as a person. And I think he really tried to extend that to other people.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned his faith there. I mean, here is a guy who's an ordained minister and who never mentions God on his show, but just exemplifies his faith. Mm-hmm. With gentleness and love. I mean, I really want to believe it's genuine. I say I want to believe it's genuine because obviously this isn't him. This is a portrayal of him, right? So it's like, you know, this is how people felt about him. But, you know, I want to see the doc to see it as well. I've never heard of a story, though, once of anyone who had issue with Fred Rogers. Mm-hmm. Not one. To me, the telling issue of authenticity, there are two things. First of all, that piano scene and the scene where Lloyd challenges on his relationship with his children. Mm-hmm. Those are the two where it really breaks through. And I love the fact that they have his wife come and she says, oh, he's not a saint because, you know, Lloyd's trying to find that crack. Mm-hmm. And here you have these two moments where you get to see a little bit behind the conversation. The thing that kills me is that he's challenging him on his relationship with his kids, and his comeback is, well, thank you for pointing that out to me right now. I guess it would have been hard for him. And it was sort of like, what? How did you, what? Like, he basically just said to you that, you know, you're a celebrity, and so, like, you know, were you not a good parent? And you just admitted that, hey, maybe I could have been better. I'm like, that's amazing. That's such a beautiful moment.
It's a total test or just in self-realization, like realizing his faults and just bettering himself. It's very inspiring now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah. I particularly loved that scene because I think that, again, it just speaks to who Fred Rogers was as a person, obviously speaks towards Tom Hanks' performance as him, because that was such, oh my gosh, I thought that was such an electrifying scene. But yeah, again, at the end of the day, I think Fred Rogers was just a normal human being that really, really strived to live according to his values and really strived to always be a better person than he was the day before and always tried to extend compassion and extend empathy, even in how he responds to Lloyd in that moment. You know, I think not any other person, but I think a lot of people might have reacted defensively or might have been a bit taken aback and not known what to say. But, and Marielle Heller, the director, mentioned this during the Q&A, and it does come up a lot in the documentary. They mentioned that Fred Rogers, you know, he was not uncomfortable sitting in silence. He was not uncomfortable with taking a moment to sit there with what you've said and kind of unpack that, and also holding space for people to unpack that when they're kind of on the receiving end of questions like that. But, you know, he kind of takes a pause before he answers, and he really does consider, genuinely consider what Lloyd has to say and say, yeah, you know, it must not have been easy to grow up with a father that was in the position that he was in. You know, there is a moment that he takes a second to kind of collect himself and think about that and really consider what Lloyd said, which for me watching that is just, on a personal level, was such a reminder, you know, it's okay to take a second if someone says something to you or asks you about something. It's okay to sit in silence for a moment and really unpack it and think about it and gain some clarity as to how you want to react to it.
Oh, for sure. I appreciated the fact that they did try to show you behind the image without ruining him. He was a minister, and you can see in most of the movie, he's ministering. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor, I get it. If you're constantly ministering to other people, people can forget that you need it too. Mm-hmm. And there are these moments where he sort of lets that out, but not in a way that is unhealthy. It's just sort of like, no, you're right. I think we've said it multiple times. They say it in the film, he's human. Mm-hmm. He's not this superhuman saint who is perfect by any stretch. But like you said, he's striving. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you think about the point of view of the film? Jolie, you brought up an interesting question about Heller's choice not to follow the biopic conventions. Why do you think she chose to do that? Do you think it worked? How do you feel?
I mean, me personally, I was really pleasantly surprised watching the film and seeing that she took a bit of an experimental approach to it, as opposed to kind of following a really strict biopic formula or following any sort of conventions. I personally liked it. I love artists that are not afraid to take a creative risk and are not afraid to experiment with their vision. And I think it really worked in this case, especially because I think now that biopics are becoming much more frequent, you know, people, I think, are paying more attention to how they are structured and how they do portray these, you know, figures that mean so much to us. So I think that her approach allowed us to almost pay attention a bit more. You know, she kind of kept us on our feet, like both of you mentioned, when at the beginning of the film, when he shows the pictures and he opens the frame and you see Lloyd's face, they're looking absolutely bewildered, and he's a bit bruised up. I was absolutely not expecting that, and I appreciated that she took that route, because it really kind of did make you perk up, pay attention, and realize, okay, we're taking a bit of a different route here. I loved the shots of the miniature town. I think that was a wonderful kind of homage to the TV show. And also to Fred Rogers' method of storytelling and also educating through creativity and through stories. So I liked that. I thought that was in respect to him and what he had done on his program. I liked it. One thing that I felt was interesting, and Jules, I think you'd mentioned this earlier, was how it's a movie about Fred Rogers, but it almost wasn't. You know, it's more of, we're really kind of honing in on Lloyd's situation and his situation with his family, and how Fred Rogers sort of steps in and helps guide him through his situation. And to me, I felt that approach made so much sense, because when I think of Fred Rogers, I think of someone who truly did live their life in service, and in service specifically to other people. And I think that this film being structured the way it was really demonstrated that. It felt like more of a verb than a noun, if that makes sense. But I really appreciated the route that she took.
Yeah, I think they acknowledged that the biopic has been done. So this film is, you know, less about Fred Rogers as a person and more about the impact that his teachings have had on others. You know, how we see the effect that he has on this quote unquote broken family. So I think it just sort of speaks to how powerful of a human being he was and how important his teachings were. And still are. I mean, his legacy lives on with Daniel Tiger to this day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, from a bit of a callous perspective, you know, to take it out a little bit, my thought was if they do a biopic, they're going to have problems right off the bat because this doc became so big. And I thought if they just rehash the doc, just structurally, it's not going to work. I love the fact that you called it a companion piece, Jolie. I think, honestly, I think that that is probably the best way to describe it, having not seen the film, but just understanding what it is. Mm-hmm. That gives you the research. That tells you who he is. And this shows you his impact on, not on just Lloyd, but on the culture.
Yeah.
You know, when they're on the subway and, you know, hey, it's Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And then, like, all of a sudden they're all singing and the police are singing as well. And you're like, what's... What?
Very powerful scene. Mm-hmm.
It was just, how could your heart not be happy during that scene, you know?
Well, yeah. But see, that's what I loved about the film is that by making this a film based on the story of someone else, they somehow gave him greater weight.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want to hear about his relationship with his kids. That's not, I do want to hear about his relationship with his kids. I do want to hear about this man. But this film is trying to show you the intricate impact that he had on those around him. Yeah. And you can show that in a straight biopic, sure. But the best way to do that, I would say, is in the point of view of the other people. Mm-hmm. Because if it's in the point of view of the main character, if it's in the point of view of the subject, then all you're doing is telling people what he thinks he's doing for other people.
Yeah.
But in this case, by moving him to the side, it actually has a greater weight, I think, upon him that changes who he is. I loved that. I thought it was beautiful.
You put that in such a great way that I could not express. And I think, as you mentioned, like having it from the person receiving his love, receiving his compassion and empathy and receiving his attention, demonstrates the work that he was doing, because you see that impact, you see that the outcome of that work and that kindness, really. So yeah, absolutely, I agree. And that was something I felt that more than I knew it consciously, because as you said, and I didn't necessarily think about this too much, but had they shown it from his perspective, it would be, oh, this is his perspective of what he's doing for other people. But no, we're actually seeing the impact of it on someone who is receiving his help and his kindness.
Okay, so here's the thing then, ladies. Well, what is it that you think is the most important thing he learns along the way, that Lloyd does? Because if we're seeing it from Lloyd's perspective, the Lloyd at the end of the film is very different. So what is it that Fred Rogers imparts that changes this man that you think is so important, that you think is important?
I think it's sort of a lot to do with the element of having compassion for others, because I feel like at the beginning he's really wrapped up in his own little world, and that's fair. He has a busy career and a new family, but and maybe forgiveness as well, because there was some serious pain from his father, and he was able to, I wouldn't say put it aside, but at least work through some of it. And I think that, I mean, it's not like it was a huge 180, for Lloyd in his life, but I think that he learned a lot and was able to improve on a lot of his circumstances.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think Jules hit the nail on the head. I definitely felt forgiveness was a major lesson, forgiveness for others and also forgiveness for yourself, or towards yourself rather. Because yeah, I did feel like Lloyd was really, there was just so much pain and so much hurt and so much anger and sadness within him. And that was almost taking control of his life. You know, we see him, you know, I felt he was not being he wasn't really being present for his wife or his new baby. She was kind of shouldering a lot of the emotional kind of support within their family, as well as, you know, financial and everything else. And a lot of, I think, the pain that he was holding on to was, again, as Jules mentioned, maybe not totally healed, but he made some headway and made some progress working through it once he was able to forgive himself and also to extend that forgiveness to particularly his father and to his family members, to help release some of that pain and allow him to really focus on his own values, his own life, and his own family.
For me, as I'm sitting there, I'm not even sure I could put it into one thing. Like, you're right. You've both mentioned some great stuff. I would throw into the mix of that the idea, again, of Lloyd's brokenness. And I say this because I think the more that Lloyd recognized his own brokenness, the more he was able to have compassion on his father and on others. Because he sort of recognizes that people are broken and the compassion is rooted in that. You know, that's how I sort of felt about it. Not that that was the one key thing, because I think that everything that you have said, both of you have said, I think is absolutely essential to his process and to this growth of him throughout. But wow, like, you know, the more that Lloyd comes to terms with his own brokenness, the more I feel like he's willing to release his father, or at least the more open he is to the idea of forgiveness. Because it's one thing to say, hey, you should forgive your dad. He was young and stupid, or he made some mistakes. But it's another thing to recognize that you need it too. And I think that there was something really fundamental in that, personally. But again, in all of those things, I don't know if there's one moment in this one, although there is that trippy dream where there's a moment where it's kind of, this movie kind of goes on an acid trip. I don't know if you ladies felt that. I'm like, all of a sudden he's there and his wife is, he's a puppet, and then the wife is there and she's singing a song, and it was bizarre. I'm like, what's going on here? Did he have some bad pizza like before bed? But it's just such a complicated process for him. I love that. Honestly, I love the fact that it was focused on him and not on Fred Rogers. That's what I loved about the film.
And I like that word to use, complicated, because there is no such thing as a linear path to healing or a linear path to working on yourself, or, you know, a linear path to meditating. And I think that that's really the crux of the film. And even just listening to both of you discuss the lessons that this film brought up and that Mr. Rogers brought up, something that I was thinking about was, you know, just the thought that people are deserving of love and respect, because it almost seems that Lloyd is holding this feeling that he's not deserving of that, or his father is not deserving of that. You know, there's a feeling of you have to earn that to be worthy of it, or to be worthy of compassion or empathy. And I think something that really hit me hard personally about the film was, and just Mr. Rogers, his teachings in general, is that no, everyone is deserving and worthy of respect and compassion. And we see that throughout the film and how Mr. Rogers handles all of his interactions with Lloyd and also Lloyd's father. that really, really got to me. I think that's such an important thing that it's easy, I think, to fall into, especially in today's age, to fall into this line of thinking, oh, you have to be the most productive, you have to be perfect, you have to be successful or whatnot to be worthy of love and respect. But, you know, it's not the case. We're all deserving of it. You know, we could all be better people. We could all improve ourselves in our own ways. But, you know, we are worth compassion and empathy.
Absolutely. There's a humanity there that is just a celebration of humanity.
Yeah.
So, ladies, then what was it? What do you think is so special about his approach? What is it that sticks the landing for Fred Rogers in this film?
I think that he's real, but patient, and he doesn't tiptoe around the uncomfortable topics. But he acknowledges that it's hard, but he is able to be patient with people and sympathize with people and have that compassion. And he's just everybody's kind of father figure almost.
Ah, yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah. You know what? You said that about him being real. One of the scenes I thought was so interesting is when he's trying to put up the tent. He's putting up the tent, and then it's like, oh, no. Well, we'll shoot it again. And he says, no, leave it in. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's sort of like intentionally like, guess what? They need to learn how to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
There's almost a respect that he has for people just being human. And as you said, with the tent, I loved that scene where you see him with Daniel, the tiger, and he's crying. You know, there's a sense of respect for people's vulnerability and a respect for the fact that, you know, we're humans, we're going to make mistakes, you know, and it's how we approach people and how we interact with people when they do make those mistakes that I think is a true mark of that person's character. And I think he tried to really impart that on people.
You know, there is another thing we haven't addressed, but there are so many little moments. I love these little moments.
Yeah.
It's when he takes the first phone call, he calls Lloyd and he says, do you know where the most important place for me to be right now is? And he says, no, where? He goes, well, I'm talking to you, Lloyd Vogel, or something to that effect. It's like there's a presence to him. You know, I was thinking to myself, okay, I understand the timing is ridiculous and that it's totally different, but he doesn't use a cell phone in this movie. Now, again, I understand it's not taking place right now, but there's a sense of presence every time they're together. He's not distracted.
Yeah.
Now,
he makes you feel special about yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm with my kids today, for crying out loud, and they're talking to me, and I'm sending a message on my phone while I respond to them verbally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not present.
Absolutely. A sense of mindfulness and intentionality in everything that he does. I don't even know if intentionality is a word, but it is now.
It is.
And, but there's a sense of intention, you know, when he takes these actions with people, and it could be a subtle or quiet action, just sitting and in silence and listening to someone, but there's intention there. I get the sense from the film and also from the documentary that he did everything with intention. He was always conscious of how he was showing up for people, and that was very important to him. And he, you know, he was being mindful, he was being present, and he was intentionally holding space for people to discuss things that, you know, or, you know, a lot of times discussing very vulnerable moments in people's lives. And he gave them that space with full, you know, presence and mindfulness, which I think is such a beautiful thing. And as you said, especially nowadays where, you know, people are constantly on, you almost feel like you always have to be on and accessible to others. It certainly feels like we're almost starving for mindfulness now.
And silence. Even if there's no one around, you're around 100 people at the same time now.
Yeah.
Man, this even our conversation right now, I'm like, duh.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and I think that, you know, lately, just in my own personal life, to be frank, like with my friends and just different things that I've been reading and listening to, there's I think more awareness now to people wanting to be conscious of how people show up for them. But I think if you are, you know, hoping for people to show up for you in the way that, you know, best supports you, which is absolutely valid, we also have to give thought to how can we show up for others in a way that is supportive to them too, whether it be our friends or family members, coworkers, or even if it's just someone that you come across in a cafe, you know, how can we take our time and our energy, which is such a precious commodity now because we all live such busy lives, but how can we just be that little bit better each day and in holding space for people and giving them our time and our attention and our mindfulness, really?
Oh, that's so important. Yeah, if we could all be like an 1% more like Mr. Rogers,
right? It'd be
a much nicer world for sure.
Are you suggesting it would be a beautiful day in the neighborhood? Is that what you're getting at there?
I love it.
Julie, I don't think I could have said that better myself, but having said that, the sun is down, the day is through.
Oh, he did it.
It's been so nice to talk to you. We have to screen it or I can't do the rest. We have to screen it or skip it. Beautiful day in the neighborhood, screen it or skip it?
I think it's definitely screen it or stream it. It's, you know, it's not necessarily something you have to go see on the big screen, but there is something very nostalgic about hearing that music in surround sound. It was like, yeah, very special. It's definitely something, especially if you watched Mr. Rogers growing up, it's special. So I would recommend seeing it.
I'm with Jules on this one. Absolutely. I would recommend screening it. I think everyone should watch this film. As Jules so eloquently put, you know, if we could all be 1% of the person that Fred Rogers was, or if we could all at least devote 1% of our time and intention towards showing up for people, I think, you know, our own lives, let alone the lives of people around us, I think would infinitely improve. And I think this film just does such a beautiful job of that. It never feels too much. It never feels, oh my gosh, like, you don't feel weighed down by the film, but you also don't feel like it's too flimsy or too fluffy. I think that it struck a really nice balance of compassion and humanity, and also, you know, being real and vulnerable. But absolutely, I would say screen it. I would add to the caveat of screening it, I would recommend seeing the documentary, if you can, before the film, just because you'll have a wealth of context, sort of contextual background going into it. And I think you'll really appreciate Mr. Fred Rogers and his actions so much more. And I think you'll also just feel closer to him, because it has been a while, I think, since we unfortunately had the pleasure and the honor of having him around and having him on our screens daily, or frequently rather. So having the documentary to kind of refresh that feeling of closeness with him. And also for me, I learned so much about him and his advocacy from watching that documentary. So it is a perfect companion piece to this film. It'll give you a more holistic picture of who he was and his, basically his life's work.
Yeah, this is a screen it for me for sure. I'm going to check out the documentary. I wasn't avoiding it intentionally, although I am much more relieved knowing that it's more of a companion to this film and that they differ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to checking that out myself. In terms of this film, you know, I think You don't need to see it on the big screen, but I would absolutely say that this is one of those films that really impacted me. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I wouldn't say wait until streaming it. Go out and see it, because you will hug everyone that you see afterwards, which gets really awkward when you're walking out of a theater of strangers. But it is just a beautiful, beautiful film. I just found it, you know, is it the best film I've seen this year? Probably not, but it is certainly one of the most impactful films on me that I've seen this year. And I think that for that reason, I would definitely say that it's well worth going to see in theater. Although I wish they had cut that scene where Fred Rogers goes on that drunken rampage and hits that person with his car. And what movie did I see? No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
You did see Joker before. That's right.
No, Joker was after, actually, but yes.
Oh, right. You got all warm and fuzzy, and then all of your dreams were crushed.
That's right. I felt good about the world, and then they had to tear it down, so that was okay. But, ladies, thank you so much. This has just been a joy to talk to you. It always is, and I really appreciate having you on.
The dream team at it again.
Yes! Thank you both so much. I think that this film, for me anyways, really resonated with me, so I'm so happy I got to discuss it with you too.
Yeah, I'm so glad we did. This was just, it was a great conversation. It's a beautiful film. For those of you at home, a reminder that you can find us hopefully wherever you're looking for your podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Stitcher via your Alexa device, Podomatic. If you go to the Screenfish website, screenfish.net, and go to the podcast page, you can download Fishing for More, which are small group questions that you can have to get the conversation started with the people you see the film with once you're done hugging them. We will be back next week to talk about Frozen 2, the sequel to Disney's 2013 mega hit, starring Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell. And so we're looking forward to that, and we'll have things we like to talk about. You will, too.
Mic drop. Very well done.
So thank you again, ladies. This is so much fun.
Ugga mugga, everyone.
What?
Anyone? No?
What is that?
Daniel Tiger, Ugga Mugga.
Oh.
Come on. Steve, laugh is amazing. You have the most infectious laugh.
I'm like, wow. I was like, this took a turn real fast. Ugga mugga to you all.